So in a few minutes, we'll be in the book of Jeremiah to start off with. So seven things, and I could have added to the list, and I almost stopped to ask some of our more mature Christians if they had thoughts they might add to this list as well. But number one, young people, you do not have to be in a romantic relationship to enjoy life. And that goes for any age. You can be single and be productive and be happy your entire life. The Apostle Paul was. Now then, is it good for us to find a mate? Absolutely. God said it was not good for us to be alone. We're designed to take two and make one. We're designed to have that helpmeet and that spouse and that comforter and that lover and all of those things. But young people, listen to me. You do not have to find that person at age 13 or 14 or 15 or even that freshman year in college. I was talking to the uncle of a former player of mine, and this uncle and I have had a really good relationship. He's helped me coach in years past before Marty came along. His nephew means the world to me. Nephew's now seventh grade, and he's struggling with the fact that all of his friends have a girlfriend and he does not. And that's become part of who identifies him, and it's something he's wrestling with, and I want to take him and try to get him to understand that in the seventh grade, you have to figure out who you are before you can find someone else. You have to learn to respect you. You have to learn to respect other people. You have to begin to figure out your identity long before you're ready to choose that person that you're going to be in a romantic relationship with the possibility of marrying. You have to figure out who you are in Christ. You have to figure out the type of person you're looking for and where you intend to end up spiritually before you can find the right person to help you get there. And young people, you're not going to believe this right now, but when you're my age and old, you'll understand. At 14, 15 years old, you can't do that. You can't find the perfect spouse 99 times out of 100 at 14, 15 years, because you don't even know who you are. You don't even know where you're going. Slow down and enjoy being a teenager. The second thing related to that is God has a plan for you. Let Him work it out in His time. We don't have to get in a hurry to grow up. We don't have to have our entire lives planned and our mates chosen and all of this stuff by the time we hit the seventh or eighth grade. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I think it's very important that we understand, whether we're talking about a romantic interest or any other part of our lives, that the process begins with me going to God and asking what His plan is for me. The process begins with me understanding where I am right now and where I need to be 25 years from now, and the process that God is going to go through to get me there. Go back to the first verse. Remember, He said, I have plans, or verse 11 of those, I have plans for you, and they're for your good. Now then, you come to me, and we'll work those plans out. In Romans 8 and verse 28, one that's a lot more familiar to us, God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. So number one, before I can line out the rest of my life, including my spouse, I have to come to Him. And I've got to buy into His plan And then I've got to let Him cause everything to work together for good. Number two, young people, you may not have ever been told this, but you are beautiful and unique as an individual. Psalm 139 and verse 14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What, approaching 8 billion people on the face of this earth? You are the only one that will ever be you. God made you exactly how He wanted you. And as we've just seen, He's got a plan for who He wants you to be. God made you to be you. And as long as it is within that plan, if it's within Scripture and godly law, go with you. Go with who you are. God has a plan for you to be right now. And He has a plan where He wants you to be. You don't have to fit into somebody else's mold. You don't have to live up to somebody else's expectations. You don't have to live up to somebody else's career plans for you, or marital plans for you, or educational plans for you. God made you. And within His plan and within His law, you have the freedom to be you. You don't have to look like a model. You don't have to be sculpted like an athlete to be beautiful in God's eyes. We're talking about the spiritual side of us as well as the physical side of us. Don't ever let someone look down on you because you are not what she or he thinks you should be. Primarily talking about the world, it's none of this world's business who you are. It's none of Hollywood's business who you are. It's none of the magazine's business who you are. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, do not let anyone look down on your youthfulness, but you be the example. Timothy, I've put you in a place where it's not easy. I know. People are looking down on you. You're younger than they are. He said, stand out. Be different. Connect this one to it. We're building all of these kind of together. Number three, young people, you are not defined by your GPA, the classes you take, where you're going to go to school, or your future vocation. Is education important? Without a doubt. I believe that with all of my heart. Should we do the best that we can to succeed, whether it be in our grades or our sports or our Christianity or our job, what? Yes. God has called us to do well in what we do. But you can take all the classes. You can make all the highest grades. You can graduate from an Ivy League school. You can land the highest paying job in the world and still be lost. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24. Jesus said to His disciples, we often, when we pick up this passage, we want to jump all the way down to verse 26. Start back at verse 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. What will a man be profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, before you jump to worrying about what your future holds financially, what you're going to gain in this world, He said, number one, take up your cross and follow me. Be a child of God first, and then worry about the rest of it. On the only scale that matters at the end of time, you are defined by who you are in Christ. Not who you are in this world. Should you get an education? If that's your thing, absolutely. If you get a job, are you going to do the best you can at it? I sure hope so. Are you going to make enough to live and take care of a family and be comfortable? I hope that's part of the plan. But young people, when you're 13 years old, you don't have to already know that you're going to Princeton, you're getting your PhD, you're going to be at the top of this ladder and the top of that ladder in 25 years. Be 13 years old. Enjoy being 14 years old and 15 years old. We don't have to put so much pressure on our young people to have it all lined up in a row that they begin to crack under the pressure that we're putting on them. Again, God has a plan, and it's going to work out. So don't spend every waking minute worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 34 that today has enough for you to worry about in and of itself. And so teenage years have enough to worry about. Worry about accomplishing those things first. Number four, young people, it's okay not to fit in. It's okay. You don't have to look like, act like, talk like anyone else in the world. You do not have to watch the in shows. You do not have to hang out with an in crowd. No matter how much pressure you feel to fit in with a certain group, to be included with certain people, standing out as a child of God is a good thing. We were designed to be different. And when you stand out, it will make you stronger, it will make you braver, and in the end, it will make you more respected. But you see, we're the ones called to change this world, not to be changed. Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't fit the world's mold. Change the world. Verse 21 of Romans 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's in the context that when the world's evil to you, you don't have to be evil back. When the world does you wrong, you don't have to do wrong back. Stand out. Be different. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. We're to be holy because He's holy. We're to stand out because God stands out. And then it goes on to say that on the last day, the world's going to finally recognize it. They may not recognize it now, but sooner or later, the world's going to respect who you are. Chapter 2 and verse 9, we looked at this morning. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And then 2, 11 and 12 is the reference to them looking at us as different. Number 5, young people, do not beat yourself up over the past. Have you made mistakes? Which one of us hasn't? Are you going to make more mistakes? Which one of us is not going to? It's part of who we are. It's part of humanity. It's part of our frailty. But in Christ, there's forgiveness. In Christ, there is no condemnation for the things that have been forgiven in our past. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're new creatures. The old is erased. We've left it behind. Chapter 4, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians, we get to be renewed every day. So every time I make another mistake, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, I can go back and I can be re-cleansed through the blood of Christ as long as I confess and as long as I repent, and I can be renewed every day. I learn from the past, but I don't have to be weighed down by it. Again, Matthew 6, verse 34, there's enough for me to worry about in this exact day right now. So I don't have to carry yesterday's baggage, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow's sunrise. Take care of this moment right now, and right now in Christ, there's no condemnation. Justified in the eyes of God, clean as I can be. Number 6, young people, surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with younger people that you can influence for good. Surround yourself with those of similar age who are on the same path as you and can be an encouragement to you. And surround yourself with those who are older from whom you can learn. This world is not meant to be traveled alone. We need as much help as we can get to not only survive, but flourish. Young people, listen to me very carefully, because we've developed a culture that as much access as we have to the world, because we do so much of it electronically, we cut ourselves off. Do not ever feel like you are alone. The church is a family. The church is here to help. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Another one of those passages is when we jump to it, we jump to the fact that God always provides the way of escape. What's the first part of that verse say? That no temptation has overcome me that is not common to man. No matter how isolated you feel, no matter how overwhelmed you are by what's going on in your life, what you are facing is not new. Other people have already faced it and survived, and other people are going through it right now. There is someone who understands. That's why we have a church family. And most certainly understand that you never walk alone as long as you're a child of God. Number 7, and it's kind of a summation of all of that, some of the things I've already said. Young people, never feel like you have to succumb to the pressure to win someone else's approval. You are not here to gain the approval of the world. You're here to gain God's approval. You can win every accolade there is to win and get every pat on the back. You can get the standing ovations, win all the trophies. And if God turns you away at the gate, you're lost forever. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, I'm not here to please man. I couldn't care. Paul says, I don't care what the world thinks about me. The ultimate goal is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter the joy of your master. Young people, the rest of us too, the pressure on all of us, whether it be teens or college age students or young adults or even more mature adults, the pressure can be suffocating because the world closes in on us and the tendrils of the world try to creep into our lives and begin to choke us. The world wants us on its side. The world wants us to fit the mold, to look like it and to act like it and to talk like it. And the world preaches that we have to have a certain degree and a certain job and a certain income. God's mold is different. We're designed to fit into God's mold. Young people, as long as you do that, everything will turn out for the best. That is the promise that He gave you in Jeremiah, and that is the promise He gave you in Romans chapter 8, that He has a plan, and it's for your good. Now let Him work on it. There's something that is said in one of the Harry Potter books. As Dumbledore and Harry are talking. And basically, to sum up, Harry is struggling to understand things that are going on. And Dumbledore says, as a young person, it's not possible necessarily to understand what adults understand, because they ain't got there yet. You can't think like that. But as an adult, it's our fault if we forget what it's like to be a child. See, here's the thing. As adults, we get so caught up in paying the bills, making the mortgage and the car payment and fixing what needs to be fixed in the house and taking care of this, and that sometimes we forget what it's like to be a young person. And we don't take the time to mentor and teach and encourage as much as we should. Young people, when that happens, grab us on the sleeve and get our attention. And remind us, hey, I'm here. and I'm struggling with something and I don't know how to handle it. I've got this pressure on me. My friends are saying this. This group's in, and I don't know what to do. You should never feel like you're lost or alone or abandoned. But if you do, come tell us. Don't try to fight this world by yourself. Don't try to live this life by yourself. Everything we've said now, understand, young people, old people too, comes from the cross. All right? I can get all of it right in the world, but if I miss heaven, I've missed the only goal I had to have. So accomplish everything you want to accomplish, young people. Be all you want to be, but be it in Christ. And let it be His plan. And when your life is over, you will have enjoyed the journey. If you're not a child of God this evening, why not start that journey? And that way the rest of it will make sense to you. And if you feel the pressure of one of these things and it's something you need to talk about, go to your parents, go to your youth minister, go to your elders, come to me, go to your friend, your mentor. Let somebody know where you are in life and let us help as we stand and sing.